Okay, well, by rights, we should get back over in Galatians, but I had a few more thoughts again this week. And some verses and thoughts that came to mind. Nothing organized, most of it actually this morning yet. And then hopefully we'll get back to Galatians maybe next week. I may finish up early and be able to get back to it this week. You know, I know a lot of folks got all caught up in this election. And a lot of folks, a lot of good folks, are upset. And what they did, and they worked, and it didn't turn out the way they wanted it to. And a lot of good folks, who even should know better, it's almost like they think the world's just come to an end. And I just have a few thoughts on those things. And maybe some thoughts that will help you. And I know this. Doesn't matter who's in the White House. Jehovah God is still on his throne. And it doesn't matter how men maneuver and manipulate and cheat and steal and whatever. God is working his perfect decreed will.
Right.
And even all of that is encompassed in his will. It doesn't excuse them. Those evil hands, they'll be accountable for.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing is outside his decreed will. Nothing is outside his control. Not just his knowledge. God is omniscient because God's decreed all things. He knows all because he's determined all. And that ought to give us some rest. The verse kept coming to my mind from Amos, and then I almost set it in context and read some of the verses around it. Things don't happen by accident. God's not caught by surprise. And even the things that we think are so terrible, so horrible, so evil, come from his hand. Amos 3, I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. Says, hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I have brought up from the land of Egypt. God judges Israel. Don't think he won't judge America. Listen, if he judges the apple of his eye, and to some degree, there has been things maybe special about America in the past. And certainly, we've been benefited from God's blessings.
Mm-hmm.
But God spoke to Israel. He said, listen, I've spoken against you, the whole family which I brought up out of Egypt, saying, verse 2, you only of all the families of the earth, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Well, that's a great thing to be in that position with the Lord. But listen to what he says. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Being the children of God, being blessed of God, brings with it not only the blessings, but responsibilities and accountabilities. And so God warns Israel, and again, it seems like the bad guys win, and God uses the bad guys sometimes to bring his people to where they ought to be. Verse 3, familiar verse. Can two walk together except they be agreed? You can say God bless America, and you can say, you know, America is God shines on America, and America's got a special relationship with God, and you can say one nation under God. Listen, God isn't going to change to walk with America. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And the walking's not going to happen unless we change, unless we conform. Because God does not change. His word does not change. His decree does not change. And you look at the things going on about us today and the things that people embrace. And I looked at folks who are supposed to be nominally Baptists, and you know, even like the Southern Baptists, more and more start to embrace, you know, sodomy, and the transvestite movement, and all these other things that probably shouldn't even hardly be spoken. God hasn't changed. His word hasn't changed. If we're going to walk with God, we have to conform to His word, to His decrees, to His will. And to walk together, except they be agreed, that ought to concern us. Am I walking with God? Because unless I'm conforming to His will, He's not walking with me. Verse 4, will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den when he hath taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have nothing for it? See, things happen for a purpose. Things happen for a reason. Again, we were discussing some of the irregularities in the vote and the machines and so forth, and folks use the term glitch. And one of the commentators that I really enjoy reading after, Herschel Smith, who is an engineer, he said, machines don't have glitches. Software doesn't have glitches. There's bugs, and they're there because there's a reason for them. They don't just happen. You know, folks, I notice more and more in this day and age, folks like to use, you know, they used to teach us in English, you know, not to use the passive voice. Because folks like, you use a passive voice, and it's like, it happened, you know, stuff happened. This occurred. No, you did it. You made it happen. Or someone did. Things don't happen for no reason. And Herschel was talking about a friend of his who was also an engineer. And was called for jury duty. And it had to do with an elevator accident. Elevator malfunction. And the lawyer was interviewing this engineer and asking him if he believed that elevators could fall for no reason. And of course the engineer said, no, they cannot fall for no reason. You know, there's always a reason. We may not know it, we may have to investigate it, but things happen for a reason. There's something there. It doesn't just happen for no reason. Well, he wasn't selected for the jury, and they went on till they found enough jurors that believed that elevators could fall for no reason. Or that believed that, you know, machines just have glitches. It's like the machine woke up that morning and didn't have its coffee. Now, things happen for a purpose. The Lord's saying, look here, these things don't happen by accident. The bird that's taken in the snare. And then get on to verse 6, which was the one that was really upon my mind. Shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people be not afraid? Bad stuff happens. The warning's blown. Shall it happen, and the people be not afraid? And then, shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord hath not done it? Said, well, it just happened. And you hear people that you watch all these storms and hurricanes that come about, and you know, well, God's not responsible for that. God did. Yes, He did! I may not understand it all. I may not comprehend it all. Amos reminds us, look, shall there evil come in a city and the Lord didn't do it? I mean, it's like you're invaded and the bad guys come and terrible stuff happens. And it's like, oh, wow. There was an accident. And the Lord uses bad people. The Lord uses the devil. But you say, well, the devil did it. No, he may have been used of the Lord, but God did it. I used to always talk about Flip Wilson theology, you know, and Geraldine. And she would all say, the devil made me do it. Well, folks like that excuse. Mm-hmm. I see too many Christians that, you know, all of... And listen, the devil's like a roaring lion. We should recognize that. But listen, I don't have to be afraid of the devil. I serve a sovereign God. And whatever comes, comes from His hand. And it comes, and I think here as well, we see it comes upon a city. Might be some good folks there, you know, at least from the human perspective. Might be some Christians there. Sometimes things befall nations, befall cities, and it comes under the judgment of God. And Christians endure that as well. It's not like God forgot or it's an accident. God uses that to His glory for their benefit. But shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people be not afraid? Shall there be evil in the city and the Lord had not done it? I remember I was quoting this verse and I was asked to pray, but I preached a little sermon at when we were at a meeting of a southern political organization, and they'd asked me to pray. And it was in the light right after 9/11. And in fact, the chairman came to me and was giving me some suggestions to how to pray, and I was like, you can find someone else to pray. And he was like, okay, so no, you go ahead. And but people see like that, well, it was those evil Abrahams. It was, but did evil come to the city and the Lord didn't do it? You know, Christians have a different perspective on things. Can Biden and Harris get elected and the Lord didn't do it? Well, maybe I shouldn't use that term elected, but they'll probably eventually get inaugurated. You know, shall they rise to power? I don't know that they were ever truly elected, but that's a whole nother story. That's all in God's providence as well. Mm-hmm. Nothing escapes God. Even the bad stuff comes from Him ultimately. Remember my liberal Old Testament professor in cemetery at Southeastern when I was there for the year I could stomach it. You know, and he was all these things. It was kind of disparaging the Hebrews when if you get in the Old Testament, you see it talks about the Lord bringing evil, the Lord sending an evil spirit. And Christians say, well, that isn't what it means. It didn't really happen that way. That's not, you know. To his credit, this infidel, really, he at least acknowledged what the Old Testament was saying, that the Hebrew perspective was that God was sovereign and everything came from God, and that's how the Hebrews saw it. And they say, well, God sent an evil spirit, you know, to Saul. Yeah. Yeah. You say, well, that's scary. No, that's comforting. You know, it's kind of like the same thing folks have problems with election and with so-called limited atonement. They say, well, that's scary. That's troubling. No, that's comforting. But the Lord has to bring you to see those things. And he has to teach you this. Shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people be not afraid? Shall there be evil in the city, and the Lord have not done it? God did it. Get all upset and weep and whine and cry and here's Biden, you're going to be inaugurated, and Harris, and probably soon after that Harris again, and here you go. God's in control. God did it. Shall there be evil in the city, and the Lord has not done it? Goes on next couple verses and speaks about how God revealed things to his prophets and allowed them to proclaim things. And in the Old Testament sense, I'm certainly not a prophet or the son of a prophet, but that word prophecy just in its base meaning just means to foretell, not so much foretell. And God's preachers are to be foretellers. We're to proclaim the word of God. It's already there. Verse 7 says, surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealed his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Well, yeah, God's word. We should know these things. We should recognize these things. Christians shouldn't despair. The lion hath roared, and who will not fear? The Lord has spoken. Who can but prophesy? We got the book. We can know that. And so again, that verse that first got me thinking along these lines. Shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people be not afraid? Shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord have not done it? And again, you get all these good Christians that like to let God off the hook. Well, God didn't really do that. You know, that was because of something else, or it's because we did it, or because... But, no, God! You know, and what's the alternative? That's really scary. Something happened and the Lord didn't do it? So there's some power outside of God that he's not sovereign over? That he doesn't control? That's what's really would be really scary. So we can rest in these things. This too is the hand of God. I don't know what all he's working through this or why. But when we have even an inkling, and I don't claim to fully comprehend God's sovereignty, but I'm glad that he deigned to allow me to understand a little bit of it. He deigned to allow me to understand enough of it to know that his decree will be accomplished, that his will is certain, and nothing happens outside of that, and that all things that come to pass are in accordance with his decreed will. So, why do I fret? Why do I get upset? Well, of course I don't. Yeah, I do sometimes. But it's when I forget who my God is. It's when I forget who I'm dealing with. And there's peace there for the Christian. The Lord, during his earthly ministry, set things in context many times, but the one verse that came to my mind this morning anyway, in the verse I really reflect upon, I speak often of the Lord's little flock here in Archer, and the Lord spoke to his disciples in Luke 12 and verse 32, and he said this, fear not, little flock. Fear not, little flock. I speak that this morning, but you can take that from the Lord if you're his. Fear not, little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Listen, there's a whole lot better coming. There's a whole lot better been done, but we just can't even grasp it sometimes. Fear not, little flock. But the Lord speaks to his little flock. And it was little. If I remember right, I think the Greek word is there's like micron. And, you know, we know what that comes from, and microscopic and little tiny. It says, fear not, little tiny flock. And we probably would qualify for that. A handful, you know, three members, and sometimes if on a good day, if we hit everybody show up and whatever, you may have close to 20 with visitors and everybody, but that's been a while. It was great to have the Gregory's last week. When they show up, they more than double our congregation just by themselves, but God deals with remnants. With little flocks. You know, that he might get the glory. He doesn't need the biggest army. He receives the glory by conquering with the little flock, with the remnant. And we're a remnant. And I think we need to recognize that as well. And by the grace of God, to stand, to be that remnant, to be that, if you want to call it, resistance against evil, against the rising power of evil that abounds about us. Fear not, little flock. The Lord also said to his disciples over in Matthew 6 and verse 34. He said, take therefore no thought for the morrow. Don't worry about it. You know, I can sit here and worry about, you know, what's going to happen. What's going to happen come January, and all these executive orders come, and here comes the ATF up my driveway, and here comes the CDC with a syringe in their hands to stick in my arm, and here comes all this other stuff. Lord said, take therefore no thought for the morrow. Don't worry about it. When the time comes, I believe he'll give us wisdom what to do. Lord talked about in persecution that he'd give his disciples the words to speak. You may not have right now, but he'll let us know what we ought to do. And he's given some of it right here. The Lord has spoken. We have his word. He's revealed it to his prophets. So I pray the Lord give me courage and a good eye. And a good aim. I think it may come to that. If not, well, that's his will as well. His will be done. But he says, take therefore no thought for the morrow. Which doesn't mean, again, not to prepare yourself and not to... He makes that abundantly clear. To not prepare and to act presumptuously is sinful. But we're not to worry about it. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You've got enough today on your plate. You know, don't worry about what's going to... When is it? January the 3rd or the 21st or whenever is it now inaugurations are? I forget. January sometime. 20th. They used to be, when I was younger, like, what, March or something, I think. Yeah, I think so. They used to be later.
March 4th, I know what Lincoln was in the
library. Yeah, I think they were that old. Something like that. I think they were still for quite a while. They didn't change it until in my lifetime. Did I remember? Maybe not. Maybe I've read too much history. Forgot too much history. And that's kind of what the Lord's talking about. Don't worry about tomorrow! For tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So again, I don't know what the Lord's undertaken, but I know that he's in control, that he's in charge. Again, I can speculate. I can even hope from the human perspective, not the hope of the assurance I have in God, but from the human perspective, I can hope that there's going to be an awakening of the resistance. You know, people are going to see what's happening. They're going to say, wait a minute. Those same people, when Trump was doing the same things, didn't say anything. Trump bans firearm accessories. Not a peep. Trump promotes, red flag laws. Not a peep. Trump crashes the economy. Not a peep. Maybe some of these people, when Biden does those same things, will speak up. Maybe the Lord will use it to awaken them. I don't know. But maybe it'll awaken the resistance. Maybe it will call out that little remnant. Perhaps. I'm not a prophet, nor the son of a prophet, so I don't know those signs for sure. If he doesn't, and that doesn't happen, whatever comes our way, I'll tell you this, we richly deserve it. Mm-hmm. Folks, you can trust God. You can trust God. You can rest in him. Preview of one of the verses I always use at Thanksgiving. And I think Brother Hal referred to it recently as well, and often does, I think. But 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning verse 16. Rejoice evermore! We had a discussion about this a couple weeks ago. Somebody talked about the difference between joy and happiness. You know, joy is not dependent on circumstances. Happiness is from happenstance, you know. Joy is, we know who he is and whose we are and where we rest, we're that little flock. Rejoice evermore. All the time. Forever. Pray without ceasing. Pray for his will. Live in an attitude of prayer, conforming our will to his. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. And I love the end of that verse. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The everything that's coming, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Whatever happened to this country, and I don't participate in the petty politics and what. And aren't all of you who participate so glad you did? I mean, what did your vote count when, you know, they just manipulate them and push a button on the machines and throw them out and whatever. Or maybe the postman takes them and throws them out there. Whatever. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Yes, what happened this past week and what's going to happen in the coming weeks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Well, a couple other verses, several other verses came to mind. I'm not going to be able to deal with all of this morning. I'm not going to continue this on next week. But David faced some rough times and some hard times. And in the midst of some of them, we read in Psalm 34, he said this, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of their troubles." The ultimate victory is assured. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of their troubles. Now, if you think about this a little bit, if he delivers them out of their troubles, right, they had to be in trouble. Right? They had to be in the midst of troubles. It doesn't say you're never going to have troubles. Verse 19 there in the Psalm 34 2 says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous." Okay. Say, well, I'm a child of God, nothing's going to happen. Yeah, there's going to be troubles, there's going to be afflictions. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Listen, the ultimate victory is assured. We're the little flock. He's determined to give us the kingdom. But it doesn't mean there won't be troubles and afflictions along the way. But we can trust in him. That verse we often reflect upon in Romans 8:28. And we know, Paul says, and we know. He doesn't say we hope, we wish, we would really like for all things. No, we know all things work together for good to them that love God. We know because he is sovereign. Because he always works his decreed will. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. Well, that's kind of like the little flock, right? The remnant. The called according to his purpose. Things work together for good. And then I just conclude with a verse I spoke last week and is still appropriate today. Some Christians put just too much confidence, I think, in man and politicians. And some folks almost worshiped Donald Trump. I mean, and that verse we looked at last week, set it in context again. Psalm 146:3. Put not your trust in princes. You know, if we get our man in, if we just got our man in there, everything would be okay. Yeah, I don't think so. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath go forth, he returneth to his earth, and that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Whose hope, again there speaks here of confidence and assurance. Whose hope, whose confidence, whose assurance, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Whose hope is in the Lord his God. So folks, don't despair. God's working his perfect decree. Doesn't mean the path's going to all be easy. It doesn't mean there won't be troubles. There won't be afflictions. But the Lord will bring all of his people to the ultimate victory. He will deliver them out of their troubles. And so we can rest in that. And as we rest, I pray that the Lord impress upon us the need to do our duty, to stand, to be that remnant, to be that little flock. We'll take our hymnals this morning, turn to page number 180. When he cometh, number 180. If you like, you can stand as we sing this out to the Lord this morning, number 180. When he cometh. Little children, good love there. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, though we can't comprehend all that transpires about us, we're thankful that we can be assured that it comes from your hand. That even when the evil comes to the city, it's in accordance with your decreed will. Lord, and even when evil are raised up to places of prominence, that ultimately you'll deliver your people from their afflictions and their troubles. Lord, give us grace and understanding and courage to stand, to be that people that you would have us to be. Father, thank you for your remnant. Thank you for choosing us as your little flock. Thank you, Lord, for one another, for your everlasting love, for our Savior, for the work of the Spirit. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.